Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Vasi Hantelis, your host for Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Our topic today is Hearing the Call, and with me today is Reverend Judith Laxer. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning, Vasi.
So great to have you with us here today. And I'm just going to share a little bit about you before we get started so our audience knows something about you. So Reverend Judith Laxer is founder of Moonwise, and she is, you know, she just brings such a unique perspective as a spiritual teacher, leader, and founder of Gaia's Temple, for the past 20 years in Seattle, Washington. She's also a priestess, a psychic, and a teacher of women's mysteries. And I'm really looking forward to talking with her today about hearing the call and how that has, you know, translated to her into a business and really looking at this idea of what is a calling. So, Judith, I'd love to start with that question. So what is a calling?
Well, first, Vasi, I just want to thank you so much for hosting me today and having me on your interview program. I'm very grateful for that. And what is a calling is a very big question, of course. and I think the simple answer is what our soul's purpose is here in this lifetime. And I think that's what a calling really is. It's what our soul is here to do and what we believe our purpose here is. And sometimes that translates into our careers and our professions, and of course I want to talk a lot about that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes our souls are here merely to learn something, to, you know, whatever that is, whether that is how to love or how to be of service to humankind. And that doesn't always translate into business or into our professions, but it often does, and it certainly did for me.
So what has been your experience in hearing your calling?
Well, you know, that kind of happened in a lot of different ways, and I think the first way that I would start to express this was, you know, for me, my work is, my business is the mysteries, which is a very interesting sort of thing, to have turned something that is so spiritual and so sort of psycho-spiritual in a lot of ways, psychological and mystical and psychic and spiritual, into something that I actually do for a living. It's not your normal, usual. It's not the route that most people go. It certainly isn't the thing that many people have gone to, you know, college and gotten degrees for, although there is certainly training for this sort of work. So for me, my early experiences with the psychic world and the spiritual world were very, very strong. And I thought when I was younger, much younger, that this was just the way of it in the world because it was really all that I knew. And then I got a little older and discovered that, oh, no, this isn't the way of it, and most people do not have these kind of experiences. So you better keep it under wraps, you know. You better be very careful because they're going to think you're crazy, you know, and they're going to cart you away, and it's not acceptable, and people look at you sideways when you talk about your your psychic experiences. And so you have to be very, very careful about that. So early on, I really kind of kept it under wraps, and I held it very, very close to my heart and was rather secretive about it after a few experiences like that. So while I had the internal experience, it was very difficult for me to sort of externalize it until I got older and reached a mature enough level to recognize that this is just who I am, and I really couldn't change my nature. And I think that's when I began to hear my calling, that this was something more than just this peculiar experience that I seem to have, that I didn't know anyone else who, you know, had those sort of experiences, but that this was more than just this weird phenomenon, that it was a reason. There was a reason why this was happening for me, and that it would eventually turn into what I consider a calling. And, you know, the word calling or having a calling, most people identify with religion, which, of course, it's very much a religious term. It's when you feel like God has spoken to you, and I use the word God for lack of any other word, but however, by whatever name we know that sacred and that holy and the divine, you know, whatever name we would use to call that, there is like a calling, like that entity, that spiritual divine energy is calling you to do something. And so unless people have had that sort of religious experience, they hear about a calling, and it sounds kind of corny. You know, it sounds kind of hokey, like, oh, well, you have a calling, do you? You know, like it's this odd sort of thing. But I think every single one of us at some point and for some reason somewhere along in our lives have felt a calling, even if it's just to, you know, start a business or to have children or to go into a certain profession. There is a sort of internal voice that I believe comes from, you know, a sort of cosmic, universal, spiritual source that is calling us toward our greater purpose, our soul's purpose here in this life. Did that even answer the question you asked?
Yes. Yes. Well, and I really am resonating with what you said about it's calling us to a greater purpose. Mm-hmm. And this show is all about, you know, dreaming big and leading boldly. And so
right.
a calling can open that for us to go into, you know, a bigger vision for ourselves that we even hold consciously. So it's,
yes.
you know, being able to tap into that. And I know for myself, I've had certain, you know, parts in my lifetime in my career where I've got a very strong knowing, however you want to say
yes.
it, like this is,
right.
this is the next thing. And
yeah.
so what I would love to explore with you, because I know from those times, it can be really scary. It could take
oh,
a
yeah.
lot of courage. Because
oh,
it's
yeah.
beyond what we know. So, you know, how have you found the courage to take those, you know, next steps when your calling is expanding?
Yeah. Well, there's a few things that I would like to say about that, but I want to talk a little bit about courage because it's absolutely crucial. And so there's a few things about it that I'd like to address. And the first is I'm a bit of a wordy nerd. You know, I like to get down to the etymology of words and their origin. And the C-O-U-R of courage is, you know, the same root of the French word cœur for heart. And so then I just kind of made this up in my own mind. It's like, oh, that's the core of courage. But the age, the A-G-E part, speaks to a time, right? It's an age, a certain age. And so it's heart time, really. And so when we have courage, we are going into heart time. What is our heart telling us to do in this moment? And at that time, what action are we going to take that is directed from that? And that was very helpful for me to sort of wrap my mind around what courage really is, because when I am frightened and something is scaring me because it seems big or unfamiliar or I'm not practiced at it, I just remember, well, my heart is leading me here, and I will never be more brave than after I engage my courage, and that is following my heart. So that's the first thing that I wanted to say about courage. And then the second thing is, It's interesting, isn't it? When you
it
look
is,
at it that way.
It is. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, and you just said something, and I just want to kind of underscore that, and help me here if I don't get it exactly right, but it was something
sure.
about the courage comes after I listen to my heart. There was something there you said.
Yes, and that was actually the next point that I really wanted to emphasize here, which is often we wait until we feel courage and then we take the action. But sometimes we must take the action in alignment with our heart, and that's what gives us courage. So, like, for example, I'm just going to jump ahead into my life. When I finally got my own office, I had been sharing an office with another woman, and the building was coming down, and we had to get a new place. And it's quite a fascinating story how I ended up getting this office. But anyway, when I walked in and the landlord was showing me this office, it was beautiful, and I knew instantly the moment I walked in, this was my place. I just knew it. And then he told me the price of the rent, which was like four times more than what I had been paying sharing with the office previous to this. And without a hesitation, I said, I'll take it. And I didn't know how I was going to pay for that office. I had no idea how I was going to pay for that office. But I knew there was a felt sense, and I knew that I had to have the courage to give it a go. And this kind of leads to the next thing that I want to say about having courage in business or about hearing your calling. It's not often usual, convenient, or expected. But that doesn't mean it's not worthy. And it's going to require that we take a leap of faith. And we live in a culture that says, be an expert, be perfect, don't make a mistake, especially once we're older. Like, we allow children to make a million mistakes. And we say, oh, well, they're just learning. But somehow when we become adults, we're supposed to know everything and be perfectly practiced at everything. And so we get fearful of taking a chance because we might fail. And then, uh-oh, then what? We'll be humiliated and we will have failed, and how horrible that is. But the truth is, we have to jump and make that leap and sometimes fail over and over and over again until we get it right. So I walked into that office. My body said, here you are, you're home. And so he said, here's this rent, and I gulped and said, I'll take it, and next month or 2 months from now, I will be there for 20 years.
Congratulations, Judith. What an inspiring story about taking a leap of faith. Yeah,
it was an absolute leap of faith and trusting, yeah. Because what I think is really necessary here is that if it does, like, had I signed that lease and then I found I couldn't have afforded it, oh, well, I would have had to find another office. Like, really, what was the worst that could happen, you know? It wouldn't have worked out, and I would have had to find another option. But had I let my fear and that big number for the rent stop me, you know, it would have totally derailed my confidence in everything. In my practice, in my ability to sustain myself, you know, so I just kind of took the leap. But that's what happens when you're listening to your calling. If you listen to your calling, like, I walked in there, I knew instantly this was my place. Now, that's different than having a calling, like, this is the type of work you're supposed to be doing, but the mechanism is the same. It's often a felt sense in the body, and it's often in alignment with your truest desire. Well, I do believe it's in alignment with your truest desires. And then, you know, we also live in a culture that says we shouldn't go after our desires. We should go for what's practical, you know, what's going to make sure that we, you know, can pay our mortgage every month. And sometimes those are not the same things.
Yeah. Well, that's where the leap of faith and the trust and the courage come in, for sure.
Yeah. So what this means, I think, is that we have to know what it is that we have faith in. And so I'm not necessarily saying that we have to become religious people if we're not, or that we have to follow any particular type of religion or what have you. But if this conversation is about a calling, then on some level we already have to believe that there's something out there that is like a magnet drawing us to what we're here for on a soul level. And so what is that, you know? And getting right with what that is, understanding what that is for each one of us, it doesn't make a leap of faith necessarily any easier because it's still frightening when you take that leap, but at least you know it's being held by something, you know? Something out there is calling. This isn't random, you know? And that's very helpful when it's time to take a leap of faith. What do you believe in? That's how you have the faith to leap with.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yes. What do you believe in? And I know some people, you know, have talked to me about, well, I don't know if this is a calling or if this is a wish or if this is my heart or if this is a fear. Like, how do you help people know to discern between a calling and a wish, for example?
Well, I don't necessarily think that they're qualitatively different, because I think what we wish for is often in alignment with what our soul is calling for. So I wouldn't discount wishes at all. And I think also, especially for women, we have been acculturated to believe that our deepest desires are not important, or that everyone else's deepest desires and caring for everyone else comes first. And then, you know, then we get to get maybe what we really, really want. But I think that following our wishes and following our calling, let's put it this way, it's kind of like the same method. So if we distill down to what we're really wishing for and we go for it, we could manifest our deepest desires. And how is that any different, really, than a calling? I don't necessarily know. I think sometimes we think, oh, well, if I'm called, then there is some greater authority outside of me that's kind of giving me permission. Whereas if I'm just wishing, well, then that's just my own wish. And, you know, once again, it comes down to this sort of worthiness issue. I'm not really worthy to have my wishes. Oh, but if God's calling me, well, then I have permission to go there. But I think the mechanism is really essentially the same thing, because if you believe that there could be a calling out there and some divinity is calling you towards something, wouldn't that same divinity instill you with your wishes and desires for that thing? Why would that be any different?
Mm-hmm.
Why would that be any different? So I think where we come in, like our own will comes in, is perhaps the discernment is to determine, how can I be of service in this arena, you know? Like when I was a kid, I didn't think that I could actually earn my keep teaching the mysteries. I had no idea I was going to found a ministry for the divine feminine. There was nothing in my world or realm at all that had me informed that I could earn my keep as a psychic. I mean, these were just not options. These weren't career options, you know.
Right.
But I dreamed about living an independent life and connected to spirit and following what was so innate in me without having to justify it or explain it to anyone. And so I just, one step after another, continued on until I found myself right where I am now, which is someone who's been doing this for over 30 years.
And 30 years is a long time, and I'm sure you can have...
it is a long time.
You can help us maybe understand, you know, what happens when there's bumps in the road? Because we all have that. We all have obstacles. We all have things come up that maybe make us question what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I need to course correct. Maybe I need to do something totally different. So, you know, perhaps you can share with us maybe, you know, a story where you've been at one of those crossroads and how you navigated that.
Well, yeah, I agree. You're going to hit those crossroads over and over and over again. I mean, to this day, I still have times when I crash and believe that I am nothing but a failure and I'm never going to really reach my great big lofty goals. You know, this dream big, I that's like my superpower. My dreams are so big, it's almost impossible to reach them, I think. And I was actually at a board meeting for Gaia's Temple the other night, and I was talking about that original vision that I had, which was to have our own dedicated space for people to come and, you know, gather and worship together. And we're still renting a sanctuary in a church because we just don't have the money to do it. And sometimes that really feels like an incredible failure, like this was the vision, this was the thing, and here I am, I'm 61 years old now, I'm still doing it, I'm doing it full out, but I haven't reached that goal. And there are times when I can look at that like a failure. And one of the board members, this beautiful young woman who just joined us, said, oh, a vision is not something you ever reach, it's just something you keep striving for. I thought, oh, my goodness, did I need to hear that? You know, because it's very easy for your brain to say you're failing if it doesn't play out exactly how you dream it. But mm-hmm. the other perspective is, for example, Gaia's temple is going to be 20 years old in September. That's 20 years of a ministry that I founded with like no help, and well, help from board members, and you know, but it's not like I branched mm-hmm. off from some existing place. This is something I founded from the ground up. And I could look at that like, oh, I'm failing because I'm not there where I'm supposed to be yet. Or I can say, wow, for 20 years, this has been a viable entity. We're still in the black. We still have people coming. It's a great success. So I think a lot of that is perspective. And I think also because we live in a culture that says, you know, fast is better and it's supposed to happen quickly, we have forgotten what it's like to hang in there for the long haul and to hang on to a vision and slowly work toward it. So often we'll feel like we're failing if things aren't happening fast enough. And we have to be careful about that too.
Oh, I can completely relate to that. That's true, because there's so much in our mind, or you know, about our vision, you know,
yeah.
that we can get so attached to. But then if you look at, you know, like what is the impact that you wanted to make through Gaia's Temple? And my sense is that you've impacted and inspired and touched so many people.
Yes,
right?
I believe that is true. So it's not like recalibrating your vision, you know, like dumbing it down so you can feel better about yourself. It's just really getting very clear about what your work in the world is actually doing. And just because it doesn't hit that grand vision doesn't mean it's not important or successful.
Yes, great point. And Judith, I'd like to just give you an opportunity to give out your contact info. So how would you like our listeners to contact you?
Sure. Well, I actually have two websites. My personal website, which is judithlaxer.com, and also Gaia's Temple, which is for my ministry, and that is gaiastemple.org, and that's spelled G-A-I-A-S, temple.org. So, and there's contact pages through both of those, so you can send me an email that way if you want to reach me or find out a little bit more about my work. Thank you.
And for our listeners, that info will also be in the show notes. So if you didn't get a chance to jot it down, no worries. You can get it in the show notes. Now, Judith, I also wanted to ask you about leadership, because this is also a conversation about leadership, and you've been a leader for many years of Gaia's Temple, and you have a board of directors, and you have, you know, different roles within the community as a leader.
Yes.
So what have you found, if you could, you know, share with us maybe some of the tips or wisdom from your leadership, what would that be?
Wow. There's
I know,
several,
a little question.
Yeah, just a little question here. I guess the first thing I would say is this, is that, you know, leadership takes, talk about taking courage. You know, it takes courage and it takes a very thick skin, because when you are a leader, you're in the front often, or you're on the front lines, you're the one that's visible, you're the one that people look to. That doesn't mean you're in complete control, which is difficult for a control enthusiast like myself sometimes, but it does mean that, like, you're the face of the organization, you're the one that people see. And what that means often is that you're going to take the hit. So I guess my tips are about, in a way, to kind of manage what can be challenging about it, because it's also pretty glorious and beautiful. and can be so soul satisfying to know that you are spearheading or in leadership for something that means so much to your heart and soul. There is quite nothing quite like that, and I wouldn't trade it for all the projections that have occurred in the world. And that really does happen, because there are people out there who are not living their truth and are not living their highest dreams and have not found the courage to do whatever it takes to find themselves in a leadership position, if that's what they desire anyway. And it's very easy to project all of their shadow on whoever is standing there in the spotlight. And so I have people who love me for what I'm doing and people who despise me for what I'm doing. And sometimes they are the same person, and that's really difficult. So toughening your skin is really important, and I don't think anything other than experience can really truly do that. But I do think it's important to keep in mind that the most important thing is that you stay focused as a leader on what the mission is for your leadership. That's the most important thing, because people will try to tear you down. They will be jealous, or they won't like the way you do it, and they want you to do something different, and they want you to read their mind and do what they want. And then if you don't, they'll be angry with you, and, you know, it can get pretty dicey. So it's really important to just stay very focused on what it is you're doing and how can you do it the absolute best that you can. And then the other part of that is to really cultivate your ability to listen and hear what other people are saying. See, to me, I think the greatest discernment is to separate, is this a criticism or is this a critique? If you can take a critique, like, oh, that might be a better idea, or, I didn't do that very well, I need to go clean that up, you know, that's a critique. But a criticism is usually from people who are looking through some pretty envious eyes. And discerning those two so that you don't take it personally can be the difference between maintaining your leadership or wanting to run for the hills. And the one other thing I want to say about leadership with regard to women and women in business, and if you're in leadership, like for Gaia's Temple, our board of directors, we work on consensus, which means that all of us have to agree on a decision, a policy for the temple before we move forward. And sometimes that can mean that a decision is delayed for a little while until we all wrap around it. Sometimes that means that someone will say, well, this wouldn't be my choice if I had complete control, but I can live with it, and so we move on. And I think that sort of circle model and consensus building is uniquely feminine, and I think it really, really works, because the sort of hierarchical majority vote is can be very, very difficult, and I think it can eventually erode goodwill in an organization. I mean, look what's going on in our country, right?
Wow, these are such great points. So stay focused on the mission. Don't make it personal. And really listen and hear the difference between the criticism. Is it a criticism or is it critique or feedback? You know, that's what I'm hearing for improvement.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, don't take it personally. We say that flippantly, like it's easy to do, but it's not, because we're the person who's standing there. And there are so many times when I've thought, you know what, if you were up here doing this, I wonder if you'd be able to do, you know, we get very, it's very easy to get defensive, but just recognizing that I'm the one that's doing it, but really it's what's being done through me. And I want to be the best vessel for that. That's truly how you can honor your calling. This is what's being asked of me. I'm going to do the best I can. Some people are going to like it. Some people are not. I can't spend too much time worried about that. I have to stay focused on what it is that I'm here to do and do it the best that I possibly can.
Yes, do it the best you possibly can.
That's
it. Well, we've got, really that says it all, in my opinion.
You know? Right?
Yeah. So we've got maybe about a minute left, and is there any final closing words or couple sentences you want to leave people with?
Yes, I suppose my single best advice is this, that everybody brings their gifts into the world. And while we have a lot of common ground, each person brings their own uniqueness. And in a culture that wants us to fit in and belong, I believe, particularly at this juncture in history, that the women who are following their hearts and guts and minds about what they believe is specifically needed in this world are the ones who are the greatest successes. So while the world might say, you're crazy, you're kooky, this won't work, this is not a viable business, are you out of your mind? Sometimes I take those kind of responses as like the signals. Oh, yeah, this is the right way to go. Right? No one else is doing this. This is where I'm going to find my way. So the odder you are, or the more you feel like nobody understands me, you can pretty much guarantee there's a whole group of people who feel the same way, and they need your leadership to know how it's done.
What a powerful note to end on. Thank you so much, Judith, for that and for our interview today.
Thank you, Vasi. This was just lovely. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. So that's our show for today. And I'd like to say again, thank you to Judith Laxer for being our leading lady. And a special thanks to all our listeners, both in the United States and internationally. We'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show, Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. This is Vasi Huntelis, your host of Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Remember to stay true to you and your dream by asking yourself this important question: what's the next bold step I can take to move my vision forward? Be the bold leader you were born to be, and go for it.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.